From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 30th, 2024. And just a little heads up, apologies for this being a late podcast. We had a little addition to the podcast family.
No way.
Baby Rena Sophia Shire was born on Saturday, happy and healthy. So was mom. So, folks, we were a little late for that. But give it up for Rena Shire. We'll have more on that in the wind down. Just want to let you know at the top. She's actually producing. This is her first pod she's producing. 3 days old. She's producing it. She's punching it. Just like her father, she loves the sound effects.
Yeah.
Now, on this episode of The Lead, we fill you in on what's happening during the final days of the legislature. Like, final days of Honda days. 0% APR. I wish. Not in this economy. We take a deep dive on the 4th Congressional District Republican primary fight with some comments from the two candidates who appeared in a forum on Monday. Myon Schechter brings you the latest on medical marijuana legislation, and Senator Lindsey Graham talks about presidential immunity and much more. Now, there's no immunity for y'all because you have to do your duty and give us a shout at 803-563-7169. That's our voicemail box where we can hear from you. You can sound off. You can tell us what's on your mind. Give AT some baby advice. He is a new papa. He's a papa. He needs to know how to parent. We're going to be micromanaging him for the remainder of his life now. 803-563-7169. Baby Rena. Yeah. There are 5 legislative days left in session, folks, which is why there are several major bills moving through committees this week with hopes that they'll make it through the statehouse by sine die. Sine die, which is when session ends May 9th at 5 o'clock. So let's take a look at what's happening.
Go ahead.
Some highlights here. In the House, several of those bills were before the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday, including that bill dealing with the Judicial Merit Selection Commission, S-1046. There's also a bill that would require inmates to be paid no lower than the federal minimum wage for work. That's S-1001. There's the drug-induced homicide bill, S-1. And a conference committee dealing with the critical race theory bill, H-3728, was canceled Tuesday. Now, this bill has been in conference committee since last June.
Oh, my God.
Been sent there. And the House Ad Hoc Committee on the Senate-approved medical marijuana bill is set to hear more testimony. More on that bill in a minute. Over in the Senate Judiciary Committee also has a big agenda, including H-4231, which would allow Sunday liquor sales from 1 to 5 p.m. in a county or municipality that authorizes such sales. The bill previously passed the House 68-44 in February. Also, H-4158 would allow domestic violence victims to break housing rental agreements without penalty. The Senate set H-4264 for special order. That gives the bill special debate priority status in the chamber. This bill prohibits a healthcare professional from engaging in gender transition procedures to a person under the age of 18 years old. The bill outlines that, quote, gender transition procedures, quote, means puberty-blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, or genital or non-genital gender reassignment surgery provided or performed for the purpose of assisting an individual with a physical gender transition. The bill states that public school officials shall not knowingly encourage a minor to withhold or that the official withhold information from the minor's parent or legal guardian related to the minor's perception that his or her gender is inconsistent with his or her sex. So a big one that's being debated right now in the Senate, H-4624. And in the U.S. Congress, the House and Senate are in session.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, Senator Lindsey Graham was on CNN's State of the Union with Dana Bash, where he discussed recent developments in the Middle East and former President Donald Trump's hush money trial that's now in its second week in New York. In fact, Trump was just found in criminal contempt for breaking the gag order on the case 9 times and faces a $9,000 fine. But here's Graham responding to Bash regarding presidential immunity, an issue that was before the U.S. Supreme Court last week.
I think the court's going to find that presidential immunity exists for President Trump like every other president, but you got to be within the scope of being president. I think they'll send it back to the lower courts to find out exactly what actions fall within presidential immunity and what are considered personal. I think that's the way this will end. It will be some immunity for some of the actions.
So it sounds to me like you're saying that that scenario does not justify immunity, that kind of scenario, an attempted coup, that there should be some immunity.
There's no absolute, well, there will be immunity. There's no absolute immunity in the Constitution. It will be a legal analysis. You know, the president needs to be protected. You know, we don't become a banana republic here. We prosecute, you know, our political opponents, which is going on really in many jurisdictions. But I think the immunity question will be decided partially for Trump and some legal, some factual analysis as to when and where it applies.
You said that it's likely to go back to a lower court, which seems to certainly be what people
think
are thinking. Yeah, watching and listening to what the justices were saying. That certainly means it's more likely that the American people won't know how this is going to sort of end before they go to the polls. Does that worry you?
They know. Yeah. No, not at all. No. You know, why don't you ask me, if he's convicted in any of these trials, would it change my view? No. I think all these trials are political. I think it's selective prosecution. I think what's going on in New York is an outrage. The case is 8 years ago. They created a crime just for Trump. I think it's selective prosecution for political purposes. I think the Jack Smith trial is selective prosecution. They didn't go after Clinton. They didn't go after Biden on classified information breaches. So I think most Americans are not going to decide how to vote based on Trump's legal troubles, but the troubles they face, inflation, crime, a broken border. Your poll tells me everything I need to know about these legal problems of Trump. People are looking at their problems, not Trump's legal problems.
On Monday at the Poinsett Club in Greenville, hashtag Yell at Greenville, the two Republicans running in the 4th Congressional District Republican primary, the forum between incumbent Congressman William Timmons and State Representative Adam Morgan, was hosted by the Greenville County Republican Women's Club. Congressman Timmons is running for his 4th term. He previously was in the state Senate representing the Greenville area, which encompasses the 4th District as well as Spartanburg. First elected in 2018 to Congress after winning a runoff following a 12-person primary to replace retiring Representative Trey Gowdy. Timmons defeated former state senator Lee Bright in that runoff, and there are echoes of that race here again in the conservative upstate district. He also beat off challenges from his right in 2022. Now Timmons faces Representative Morgan, who is the leader of the hard right House Freedom Caucus in the state house. But Timmons has something Morgan doesn't, which is the key endorsement of Trump. However, Morgan says that despite Timmons' strong conservative voting record and endorsements, he isn't fighting as hard for conservatives in the district, something that Timmons denies, and he explained why he wasn't part of the Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House. You'll hear Timmons first, and then Adam Morgan. Rena, cue the clip.
Again, I have one of the most conservative voting records in Congress. I actually have a more conservative voting record than many members in the Freedom Caucus, and I'm friends with almost all of them. I'm endorsed by Marjorie Taylor Greene, not in the Freedom Caucus anymore. But Mark Green, chairman of Homeland Security, Ben Klein from Virginia, Byron Donitz, I have a lot of friends in the Freedom Caucus, and we work together on anything that we agree on. And I found that my ability to be effective, to get bills signed into law, in the minority, in divided government, is contingent on me being able to vote however I think that y'all want me to vote. The rules of the Freedom Caucus say 75% agree on one direction, the other 25 have to go along with it. Now, that has not been enforced multiple times in Congress, but, I mean, I'm telling you right now, I will vote however I think my constituents vote. That's beautiful. So, no, I have not joined the Freedom Caucus. Yes, I vote right. I will continue to vote right.
I don't want to just be there trying to, you know, maneuver behind the scenes. I want to lead the conservative movement. You elect them to go and be your mouthpiece and contend for our values. We are the fighting fourth. That's been the nickname of years past. It's time for to have a fire in the fighting fourth. And the Freedom Caucus does not control votes. You sit and you actually discuss, you read the bills, shocking idea, which by the way, most members do not. You sit around for hours and strategize and discuss how do we move conservative issues? What's the messaging on this? How do we get the public engaged? Like, it's It's an intense process to be a part of this group, but it's exactly the best thing that has happened to the Republican Party and to politics in general. We went from a weak, watered-down, Romney era of Republican politics, where we literally had no difference between us and the establishment Democrats, to actually having the bold principles that are absolutely reflective of the Republican Party being championed every single day. And in the State House in Columbia, which is why constitutional care was passed, Save Women's Sports, budget transparency, on and on, and it's exactly what I'll do in Washington, in the Freedom Caucus and the Family Caucus.
Timmons sits on the Committee of Fiscal Oversight and Accountability and Financial Services Committee. In the State House, Morgan sits on Education and Public Works Committee, as well as Legislative Oversight. Timmons reiterated multiple times that the loudest voices in Congress often don't get anything done, whereas he works with people to accomplish his legislative goals for the district.
I mean, we agree that I vote right. The issue is tactics. My approach to being a legislator has gotten results. I've passed 4 bills, I've passed 200 recommendations. I've served my constituents. We're getting results. I am not the loudest voice in the room. I've never had anyone yell at me into changing my mind. I will continue to work hard with anyone on any issue that I agree with. And I am trusted by my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. I'm respected by my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. And my ability to get things done is because of the manner that I operate, because of the tactics. The loudest voices are not going to fix health care. The loudest voices are not going to fix debt. The loudest voices are not going to get our country back where it needs to be in the global community. You got to work hard. You got to get results. And I will continue to do that. I have done that. My record shows that.
I'm a member of the Family Caucus, which is also vitally important. I'm a member of the Freedom Caucus. I will join both day one in Congress. The Family Caucus was the lead people who organized and strategized in getting the heartbeat bill passed. Chairman McGravy has endorsed me. The Family Caucus chair at the federal level, Mary Miller, has endorsed me because I will fight for the conservative family, godly values that the 4th District believes in. I don't want to just be there trying to, you know, maneuver behind the scenes. I want to lead the conservative movement. You elect them to go and be your mouthpiece and contend for our values. We are the Fighting Fourth. That's been the nickname of years past. It's time for to have a fire in the Fighting Fourth.
The forum was moderated by the Greenville County Women's Republican Club and insisted on decorum throughout the event. And there was plenty of it. Love to see it. However, the more awkward part of the forum happened in the latter half of the hour when Timmons was asked about his failed marriage due to an alleged extramarital affair with the wife of a local developer, Ron Rawls. You may remember in the summer of 2022 that Rawls painted a former local church all pink as an ode to the pink trap house in Midtown Atlanta that rapper 2 Chainz, painted to promote his 2017 record, Pretty Girls Like Trap Music.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Rawls was in attendance at this forum event, though.
Oh, my God.
But like I said, there was decorum. Now, all that being said, here's how this question was posed to Timmons, which drew audible whispers from the coiffed chic crowd in the Poinsett Club ballroom.
Our 3rd District Congressman Jeff Duncan is likely not running again due to a marital indiscretion. Soon after the 2022 Republican primary, a scandal regarding her marriage and infidelity came to light. Many of us are old enough to remember back in the 90s when the actions of Bill Clinton had the country asking if character was the important issue we should consider when voting. Perhaps especially for Republican women, this comes down to a matter of trust. Congressman Timmons, what factors guide you, your moral decision-making in your public and private life?
I did get divorced last year. Sarah has been one of my best friends for 15 years, and she is still one of my best friends. It is extremely sad that our marriage failed, and it's just sad. So I have worked hard to represent the people of the 4th Congressional District. I've gotten the results. I vote right. I talked to Sarah this morning. She wanted to be here. She has that position. She's fully supporting my reelection. She knows my record better than anyone's. So I would say that her continued support of me speaks volumes. Look, it is sad that I'm no longer married, but that's all I got.
Now, you heard that question, but there was no mention about former President Donald Trump, who has been married 3 times, is currently on trial for allegedly paying hush money to adult film actress Stormy Daniels, and having paid the publisher of the National Enquirer to kill other stories of affairs. And he is also having to pay E. Jean Carroll $83.3 million over defaming her for the rape allegations she made against him stemming from a mid-1990s incident. A jury in 2023 did find Trump liable for sexual assault, not rape. Now, Timmons hit back against Morgan on his vote for an amendment that would have jailed women who had abortions due to rape and incest, as well as Morgan missing votes in the state house.
Adam likes to take credit for things that he did not do. The conservative majority, supermajority in Columbia, has been responsible for passing constitutions here, for advancing school choice, for doing all of these things that he says that he is responsible for. But that's just not the case. He is on the fringe of issues. He does not vote them. And he said in his announcement, and he said in Baylor subsequent, get it for you, that I vote them. He doesn't vote them. Whether he meant to vote to imprison rape and incest victims, I don't know. Maybe he's changing his mind now because he did it. I promise you, you don't be seeing that. Josiah wrote the bill, and he voted for it. Josiah wrote the amendment, and he voted for it.
The people that I get most excited about having the endorsement of, they all live in district, and they're all the local grassroots fighters. And I watch the faces. I watch their faces like the allegation that I've not actually been involved. That me and my group, we haven't actually accomplished any of the conservative stuff. I saw your faces. Because so many of you, some of you who I don't always agree with, sometimes we go back and but you know what? I show up in district. I show up to people who I get along with, people that I disagree with. We go back and forth. We fight for our values. I show up. I speak up. And South Carolina is better for it.
There was so much more to that discussion, and we have the entire video of that forum on youtube.com/SouthCarolinaETV. And this is part of our commitment to you in bringing as much as we can about the upcoming June 11th primaries. Rena, nice transition. Wow. As time ticks down in the legislative session, with it goes the future of medical marijuana legislation for another year. South Carolina Public Radio's Mayon Schechter gives us an update on the Senate-approved bill that has faced stalling tactics in the House.
A years-long effort to legalize marijuana, strictly for medical use in South Carolina, may have to wait another year. There are less than 2 weeks left in the legislative session. As of today, that amounts to 5 days before lawmakers finish their work for the year. And the bill championed by Republican Senator Tom Davis that passed the Senate earlier this year remains stuck in a House committee.
I intentionally, got the Senate to move it up and move it quickly. It got passed out, I think, the first or second week in February, to get it over to them in time. And so they've had over 2 months, and it's just been sitting in committee. And look, that is frustrating.
Dubbed the Compassionate Care Act, the bill would only legalize marijuana for use in oils, patches, salves, and vaporizers. It could only be prescribed by a doctor for certain uses. They include cancer, multiple sclerosis, sickle cell anemia, Crohn's disease, neurological diseases or disorders like epilepsy, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Davis, a Beaufort-based senator, has advocated for medical cannabis use for a decade. 2 years ago, the Senate passed Davis's proposal. The House threw it out on a technicality. So like in past years, Davis tightened the bill to appease wary colleagues.
South Carolina is a more conservative state than California and New York and Illinois. And so I don't make any apologies for the fact that this is a very conservative, tightly regulated bill.
Davis's colleagues aren't the only group the senators had to appease. Most in law enforcement vocally oppose it, particularly State Law Enforcement Division Chief Mark Keel.
You know, I've heard some people say, well, Chief, we got it in 33 other states, so what's the difference? Well, we're learning what's happening in these 33 other states. We don't have to be like them. South Carolina is different. That's why people are moving here. It's why industry's coming here.
Keel testified last week at a House ad hoc committee. In addition to his own warnings about the bill, Keel told lawmakers he might be willing to pull his opposition on one condition.
The day that FDA approves it, you'll never see me in downtown again. I'll never be before another committee.
There's no way to say when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration might ever approve marijuana for medical use. But yesterday, the Associated Press reported that the Drug Enforcement Administration plans to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. It's a huge policy shift that is sure to motivate proponents, supporters like Jeff Moore, the former 32-year director of the State Sheriff's Association.
It gave him a relief from the nightmares, the grief, the constant tears, and gave him a chance to put his life back together.
That's Moore telling lawmakers last week about his son, a high school dropout who joined the Army at 18 and was deployed to Iraq. Moore said he came home a different person after he witnessed the deaths of five friends and the death of a six-year-old girl killed by a grenade during a home search. During a later deployment in South Korea, his son turned to alcohol. That was his downfall, Moore said. He moved to Michigan, where marijuana is legal, and was in and out of rehab. Today, he's 36, married with a degree in psychology and sociology. He now works with people who have substance abuse problems. Moore credits his son's turnaround to marijuana.
He knows it because he's been through it, he's lived it, and he's come out the other end. Wouldn't you want that for your son? Wouldn't you? I couldn't be more proud of him. I couldn't.
Senator Davis told South Carolina Public Radio that he'll respect the outcome. He just wants to see a vote on the House floor. If the bill fails to become law this year, it'll have to be refiled next year.
You can find that report and more at southcarolinapublicradio.org. And on the way out, Attorney General Alan Wilson is suing the Biden administration over what he calls the unlawful rule change to Title IX that, quote, threatens protections for girls in schools, quote. The new rule, which is slated to take effect on August 1st, requires any school receiving federal funding to accommodate students' and teachers' gender identity. This means biological boys and men that identify as female will be allowed to use girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, according to the Attorney General. And students and teachers will also be required to use others' preferred pronouns. Attorney General Alan Wilson said in a statement, quote, Title IX exists to protect women and provide an equal opportunity to compete in sports. I can't believe we're in a time where that's being threatened. As I've said before, this office will use every resource at our disposal to fight against Biden's unlawful attacks on Title IX and protections for women and girls, quote. State Superintendent of Education Ellen Weaver last week, in a letter obtained by the South Carolina Daily Gazette, noted that she would not be imposing the rule change this coming school year. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. A.T. Shire, producer of the Lead Podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much.
Especially because of the new baby that's
the
here.
The baby, yes.
Baby Rena.
Baby Rena. Rena Sophia Shire. Gavin revealed it. No bleeps at the beginning of the show. It's the first time. I wanted to wait till she was here to really do the unveiling,
mm-hmm,
you know?
If you will, yes.
We're very happy. Mother, baby, increasingly healthy, probably dangerously so.
Yeah.
It is great. We're excited. Many people may be wondering, what are you doing at work?
Why is he here?
Well, because I have a duty to you monsters that listen to this part.
He works for the people. We work for the people. You're the people. He said, I have to. I can't. I have to.
If labor was going on right now, I'd still be here. Don't worry.
Well,
missing this.
And you know.
The people have babies all the time. They don't have the 519th episode of their podcast all the time. Okay.
And baby Rena helped produce it too.
She's already here working the boards. I'm not even doing this. She's
running natural the talent. She's not even a Nepo baby because she's that talented.
She's that good. It wouldn't have mattered. She'd be qualified either way.
But yeah, you texted me Saturday morning, just it's happening. I'm like, and then before I was offering, like, I can help you. Like, let me know if you're going to be sick at the hospital for hours.
Yeah.
And before you know it.
Picture of baby.
Here's a picture. I'm like, what?
Yes.
It was like this, the cherry on top of this wonderful pregnancy experience that you guys have had.
We've all had
so
it, Gavin.
So fortunate.
The whole pod has had it.
You've been so fortunate. And just like from like the beginning till now, it's like. It's 30-minute labor.
It was longer labor. I had to learn this. Labor is one thing. It was 30 minutes of pushing, which sometimes that takes hours and hours and hours of the contractions. But yeah, I mean, we were in, and the baby, she was there. Like, she was ready to come.
Kaylin is just all about efficiency.
She is. One is surprised that Kaylin had the most efficient delivery of all time. You know, all of her employees at Kraft & Draft have made jokes about it at this point. Like, it truly was. It was amazing. I did some things I wish I never have to do again, you know.
Cut the umbilical cord?
Cutting the cord. I didn't like that.
Why was it so? Was it just weird? Like, cringy, like this little thing coming out of your wife and
They asked me, and I said no twice. And then they literally grabbed my hand, put the shears in them,
and then
I snipped through it against my will.
Yeah.
Okay? I wish I hadn't done it.
I would have seen that, because it's so rare for anything like that to happen to you.
Yeah, to get peer pressured. Yeah, I really didn't
like
it.
Well, you know, because once you said it's happening, I rushed to the hospital.
Gavin showed up 20 minutes later with his own shears.
I had a microphone and the recorder. I'm like, I'm here, Kaylin. I'm here to do the podcast from the delivery room. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was briskly turned away.
Yeah, it wasn't right what they did. I said, give him a bracelet. Let him in here. He's
said,
family.
What's HIPAA? What does HIPAA mean?
Yeah, it's not real, okay? We don't believe in that.
But what an experience. This is the beginning of just so many more experiences for you.
Yes,
we're all going to be here with you.
Like Gavin solicited at the top, if anyone has child rearing advice, please lay it on me. I love getting told what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right. I don't take it personally, truly.
And I was lucky because I was out walking yesterday.
Gavin, first one to see.
And I was like, hey, I'm walking by the house. Can I pop in? I really just wanted a beer because it's so hot outside. Yeah. And then I was like, you know, if you don't want me in there, no big deal. Put the baby behind glass, whatever.
Yeah, he goes, I can look at her through glass.
like COVID style when we would see each other.
And I was like, come on,
I'm like, and then there she is, wrapped up like a little beautiful burrito.
A cherub.
And you're just like holding her. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I got some photos of you, and I sent it to some friends, and everyone's like, they're like, cute baby, beautiful baby, but look at AT's sock tan.
Yes, my sock
like,
tan is
And
intense.
I'm like, he has been ready to become a dad. For a long time now, the sock tan, the Crocs, he's now got the baby. He's full dad mode.
Okay, the sock tan, we're not going into Crocs right now. The sock tan, truly, if I go into the sun, I'm a Lebanese man, people.
Okay,
if I go into the sun for 5 minutes, I got this sock tan.
There you go.
If anything, it shows how tan I get, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm not against it. I'm honestly for it.
No, it's pride.
It's Lebanese pride, okay? I'm very much hoping that Rena has my nice olive skin, my hummus blood. She has my full head of hair already.
She sure does.
I was shocked by that when I saw the hair pop out.
She has my nose,
whoa.
Which we all agree on.
Yeah, she has Gavin's nose. I mean, she heard the podcast so much, she got some of Gavin's features by osmosis. Yeah, I mean,
oh, my nose. She has my nose. I don't understand when people say they have so. I mean,
it's too early.
3 days old. It's like
early.
A little button.
It's too early to
absolutely
tell.
Absolutely adorable baby.
She is unnaturally cute. And a lot of people have told me that. And I'm revealing here publicly for the first time. I've told Gavin and Amy this earlier that my dad said yes to this. My mom said no to this. But as a child, my parents were approached for me to be a Gerber baby.
I was just blown away when you told me that today.
So I was I was chosen as a beautiful baby.
Do they just have talent scouts wandering around
scouts.
The maternity
ward? They got scouts out there.
It's like nurses that are like, oh, I know a guy. They're smoking cigarettes over there. Yeah. Oh, that one, we want that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, thank God. Could you? I mean, because that would have been the first thing you would have said to people. You know, I was a Gerber baby. Can you steer
I was famous
in 1988 Gerber baby.
Imagine peaking at one. You know what I mean?
Not even. You're just trying to chase that high.
Yeah. I'll never be that good.
Your parents
again.
Are like, we already cashed all the checks, so you got nothing from it. But here's a cute picture of you on some formula.
My dad was so for it. He was like, yeah, famous baby. Why not?
I mean, in Jersey, that is like, you would have had a leg up on everyone.
Yeah, if you want to play the Jersey game.
Hey, if you want to make it, baby. Like, you would have done Real Housewives as like the husband of one of these crazy housewives. Oh, well, you know, he was a Gerber baby.
Oh.
He was a Gerber baby.
They get a Gerber baby. We don't get a Gerber baby.
You can still see, look at those cheeks. He's a Gerber baby.
All right. Well, anyway, I got to get back. I got to edit this show at home.
Someone out there is a Gerber baby. got to call us. 803-563-7667.
We got a lot of listeners in the Gerber building. I know that much.
Gerber building.
Anyway, I got to go home. Caitlin has nicely allowed me to come in here for this part. Baby's sleeping anyway. She's a great sleeper. She's great for eating. She's great at everything.
We
love baby Rena. We stand baby Rena. She smells good. Okay, trust me.
Just a little cherub.
We'll share some pictures. Anyway, people, thanks for listening. Bye.
That's right. Thank you, AT and baby Rena. Give us some parenting advice for our new prop papa, 803-563-7169. And you can always stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. You can always give us a review on Apple Podcasts, too. I forgot to say that, but I just said it there. So there you go. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Rena.
Great work, Rena. Now, I do have some notes.
Yeah.
Now, I do have some notes.
You're not getting away free.
You were sleeping a lot.
You spit up on the board.
I'm not mad. I'm just a little frustrated. Now, baby Rena.